If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'll stand out of love and respect of the Word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read responsively through this chapter, beginning together in verse 14 out loud. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and we'll go down through the end of the chapter, verse 26. So let's begin together in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You go back to our text tonight, or today, rather, not tonight. Tonight we have a different text. But today, as we take a look once again, and I realize the simplicity of this, but here's what I've found. I've found that the simple things have become difficult, when really it shouldn't be that way. And sometimes the simple things get overlooked. And we need to get back to where we're paying attention to the simple things. Because here's the thing. I'd rather do something simple well than try to do something difficult not so well. Right? I mean, think about that. And so, by the way, I can't help it, Coach. You've been out a couple of Sundays, but this guy will tell you he's been a football coach. Oh goodness, a long time. Should we just put it at that? A long time. Yeah, a long time. Yeah. And he'll tell you the success of a football team is doing the simple things well. I mean, we've had a chance to work with some of our teenagers. And this guy, he gets up, and we've been out doing things, and he's working on footwork. You know, he's just 1-2, just one step, guys, just this step, this step. And you say, oh, that's just so simple. Why? You know, these kids have been playing football all their lives, and in high school, college, they still need work on those steps, work on those hand positions. I mean, it's the simple things of the Christian life that cause most of us to fail, folks. Because we lose sight of the simple things. And we think, oh, here's what we do. You know how long I've been a Christian? Yeah, simple things. I don't need the simple things. You need the simple things. And so we've got to pay attention to these things. So here we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I know I've, if you will, labored over these things, but they're so very critical. If we'll get this, if we'll lock this into our minds and into our hearts and into our daily life, we will be successful. You say, Pastor, how can you be so sure? Well, because of today's message. It's just simply, the stated title is Unto God. Study, you study, imperative sentence understood subject, you study to show, manifest, display thyself, you and you alone, and then the phrase, unto God. Right? Prepositional phrase. The word unto is a preposition. Now, I didn't really care for... Now, you know how much I enjoy Mr. Webster, okay? Mr. Webster, if you will, great man, great work that he did. I love the 1828 edition of the dictionary because it gives Bible references as examples of the definitions of the words, which I think is absolutely wonderful. But here's one thing that I'm going to have to disagree with Mr. Webster on. When I type the word unto, the preposition, into the search bar of what Mr. Webster had to say, he said basically it is an outdated and useless preposition. I'm sorry, Mr. Webster, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. Okay? He said it has no place in our modern English language. Because the word to is sufficient. But guess what, folks? Unto is important. All right? It is important. Let me tell you why. Unto means, and by the way, if you try to look up the word unto, it's going to say similar things because of Mr. Webster's prowess in the English language defining business, okay? But if you look into it, study it out, really, as you look at the words, it has a great significance. Because when something is unto something, or something is to something, it's slightly emphasized. So what we're going to is an emphasis. Not just to God. Not just in His purview, but unto God. In other words, I have a part in bringing it to Him. Okay, so the word unto has a connotation of action on the bringer's or the one party's action. Okay? I have a part in this. Who am I supposed to show myself to? God. But I'm supposed to bring it unto God. So in other words, I get to bring it. I get to display it. I have something to do with this. All right? It's not just to God, it's unto God. So as we look at the word unto, it notes an obligation of the bringer. Folks, do we have an obligation? We do. As we are in Jesus Christ, we are bought with a price, we are not our own. We now have a responsibility. We have an obligation to the master. I've used this illustration before. As a Christian, as a saved being, if you're here today and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been bought with a price. You are not your own. That's what the scripture tells us, correct? Okay? You say, good, I am now free. I can do whatever I want. Kind of. Or if you will, yes and no. Alright? Think about this. If you are the owner of a property, right? And this is kind of a bad example because we have government laws and stuff like that, but... Theoretically speaking, you should be able to do whatever you want to that property, right? If you're the owner of the property. If you're the manager of a property, what are your limitations of what you can do and can't do to the property? Whatever the owner says. Y'all see what I'm going by this? Okay, so when we trust Christ, we, if you will, sell out to God, right? He buys us with the precious blood of His Son. And we are no longer the owners. We are now the manager. So can I do whatever I want in this body and to this body? Well, I can. But guess what? Might get fired. Can managers be fired? You say, how is it that God fires us? Well, takes you home, that's right. You understand we're not the owners. The things that we do as a manager are unto God. We have an obligation to the owner. So God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God. Not only does the word unto note an obligation, it notes an application. How about that? So not only am I accountable to God, I have an obligation, I have a responsibility. What does the Bible say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a holy, acceptable unto, which is your service. Service. What is service? It's the servant serving the master. It's not the owner doing whatever he wants with his vessel. It's an obligation. But we also have an application. We need to apply the things that we study to display our obligation or our responsibility because it's our reasonable service. Did you notice there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, those are the verses I quoted, it says that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what do? We say, okay, let me grab this body and I'm going to drag it over here to God and set it before him. You see, that's kind of silly. Okay, it might be silly, but that's what we're doing. So we are bringing a display. We're bringing an example. We're presenting something to God, right? We're saying, God, here I am. That's the application. We get to apply what we have learned to what we are. You understand that we're gonna get there in a little bit, but you understand why James says that faith without works is dead, being alone. Why? Because there's no application. There's no showing of what's been taken in or what's been happening on the inside. For instance, if I just take in Jesus, right? If I say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, right? And I take him in and I put him, lock him up inside and I put a label over the, something over the top of it, you know, and button it up. And so that it never shows. It's never on display. Does that mean I don't have it? No, that doesn't mean I don't have it. But what does it mean? That I'm not applying it. That I'm not using it. That I'm not showing it. It's just here. Right? It's not on display. But what's it supposed to be on? It's supposed to be on display. It's supposed to be shown. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. What is that? An application. It's our obligation to apply or to make application of the things that we've studied. Let me ask you a question. What good is it to read, to study, to labor, to be diligent, to be earnest, to endeavor, and no being ever knows about it? To what value is that? That much. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you never let it show all of your life, what does it profit you? Only one thing, a home in heaven. That's it. It doesn't profit you anything else. Let me ask you another question, a follow-up. What is it supposed to profit you? A lot. Treasures laid up in heaven is what it's supposed to profit you. A well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you think back to Matthew and the parables, I don't have time to go into all of them, but you understand. The one that took what his master gave him and hid it in the earth so no one could see it, received a wicked and slothful servant condemnation. Not a well done, thou good and faithful servant commendation. It's important that we show or we display unto God our study, our labor, our diligence, our earnest, our endeavor to know God in His Word. Now, as we look at this, by the way, it also notes an appropriation. So not only an obligation, not only an application, but also an appropriation. Who is it for? Is it for us? No. It's for God. Can I tell you something? God gives us, if you will, so that we can have, so that we can give back to Him. You understand how that works? You say, that's silly. I don't care if it's silly. It's God's economy. That's how He wants it done. So, who do I belong to? God. The evidences of my study, who does that belong to? God. Folks, this is something I understand is so simple, but it's our life, our study, our labor, our earnest, our desire, our endeavor, the things we display, the things we manifest are supposed to be unto God. You know what? If I would live my life that way, would you see God through my life then? Yes, you would. And what would you think? That I'm doing it or God is doing it? God, because I'm not doing it unto men, I'm doing it unto God. Because what does He say? Remember, go back to Romans 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, what? Unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, so if I'm displaying it unto God, who then sees it? Everybody else. It's on display, but it's His. It's for Him. It's to Him. So there's an obligation, there's an application, and there's an appropriation. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 28. While you do, I referenced this story last week in Genesis chapter 4. But you understand that God said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Question mark. And folks, that's what God says to us. If you do well, and you bring by obligation, by application, by appropriation, yourselves to me, shall you not be accepted? If you do well, are we supposed to do well or do poorly? You're supposed to do well, right? And He says, if you just do well, by the way, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's pretty simple. Do you know it's not that hard to please God? The hard part is choosing whom we want to please. We want to please us? Please others? Please this world? Or do we want to please God? Look over here in Exodus 28. I want you to see this. Talking about the Levites and Moses here, they're setting up everything for the attire of the priest. All right, that's what this chapter is about. And he says in verse 36, look what it says. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet. And here's what's to be engraved. Holiness to the Lord. All right? Now, listen to what it says. And thou shalt put on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, and upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts. And it shall always be upon his forehead. Why? That they may be accepted before the Lord. So where was Aaron ministering? In the tabernacle, before the Lord, right? He was in front, he would come in front of the Lord for the people, on behalf of the people. And he was to present himself, and he said, if you present yourself this way, and you'll do these things, then it will be accepted by God. Folks, I understand that we as independent Baptists, and myself as an independent Baptist preacher, are often thought of as unreasonable, narrow-minded, strict, right? Authoritarian, by some terms, and by some false definitions, legalistic. I sure wish they would learn that word and what it means. Legalism is adding to salvation. That's what we do not do that here. Okay? So that's a false term, but people use it anyways. But can I tell you something? It's not that way at all. Or some, we'll use a more common term, right? Your way or the highway. Well, I would like to alter that statement. How about our way is the highway? Like high, like God, you know, things of God, higher things, higher thoughts, higher ways. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his ways are higher than our ways. Folks, can I tell you something? This doesn't come from me. The Baptist preacher doesn't come from the Baptist folks that set up Baptist churches. It just comes from the book. It belongs to God. We belong to God. And when it says unto God, there is an appropriation. It is his. And it's for him. By the way, it's by him. It's his design. This is how God wants it to be. Not how I want it to be. It's God's design. Did God design the tabernacle? Yes. Why did he do that? So his people could worship him. Did God design the office of the Levites and Aaron and his sons? Yes. How about the things that they wore? Yes. The way that they were made. Of what materials? By the way, did you notice they used stuff like gold? That's pretty cool. You know, that's expensive. Why? Because it's for who? Yeah. It's for God. It's his. By the way, you know what? This is all reasonable. Reasonable. Let me ask you a question. Is there any other being in this world or any other that deserves the best than God? Shouldn't he get the finest of things, including our effort in studying the things of God? I don't think so. He deserves the very best. In Colossians chapter 1, and again, I wish I had, one of these days I'm just going to go off and do it. We'll study Colossians. I love Colossians. I had the privilege of writing Sunday school lessons on Colossians in Bible college. I've had the privilege of teaching through it. I've had the privilege of preaching through Colossians in the Christian school. I had our kids in the Christian school learn all the chapters in the book of Colossians, you know, at different times during my course as an administrator. But I want you to understand, the book of Colossians is so, to me, it's just so rich. And it focuses on our Savior. And it focuses on man focusing on the Savior. So listen to what it says here. In Colossians 1:10, there's other things that are said, but it just says this in a nutshell, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto, there's that archaic, unusable word anymore, right? Unto, I lost it, there it is, unto all pleasing. I like that phrase, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Remember that word approbated we talked about, the act of approving last week? Who are we looking to be approved by? God. And what does that mean? That means he is pleased with what we have brought or what we have offered. We talked about Cain and Abel last week. Remember that? Did Abel bring something that was pleasing to God? Yes. Did Cain bring something that was pleasing to God? No. You see, that's another proof that we shouldn't be vegetarians. Because God accepted the meat and rejected the vegetables. I'm just kidding, okay? But you can take that one if you want it, okay? That's fine. But no, it wasn't about the vegetables. I like vegetables. I do. But listen, it was about what God was pleased by. He said, what's accepted by me is this blood sacrifice. You can't get blood from a squash, folks. Right? Yeah, they don't. How many of you have cut a squash? The only time it bleeds is when you cut your finger with the squash. And then it bleeds. But then you're the one that's bleeding, right? Now, no, we're doing this unto all pleasing. And then he says, being fruitful in every good work. And I love this. Look, the last phrase of this verse. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, remember I told you, the word study, it does talk about labor, but not so much physical as mental or intellectual. It does talk about desire, but not so much physical as it does mental or intellectual. It talks about earnest, I already said earnest, I'm sorry, diligence. Not so much physical, but intellectual. It does talk about endeavor, going on a journey or starting something to obtain. Intellectual. You notice here that Paul says in Colossians, walk worthy. That sounds what? Physical. Unto all pleasing. Being fruitful. That sounds physical. Right? In every good work. That sounds physical. But he throws in that intellectual, mental aspect at the end. And it says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, This verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, has great significance for the believer. Because I'm supposed to walk worthy in my mind, in my body, in my strength, in my soul, with all that I have, to give or to appropriate to God, unto God, me. I'm bought with a price. I'm his. I'm not my own, but I'm to bring myself to him as a reasonable service. In Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Young people, old people, we're supposed to be pleasing unto God. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. This is not about how wise or how knowledgeable you think I am. or how wise or how knowledgeable I think you are. It matters how much God thinks of us. Because all of this studying, all this gathering, all this display, all this labor, all of this endeavor, all of this earnest, all of this diligence, all this thing that we're trying to become is not for me, it's not for you, it's not for the church, it's for Him. It's unto God. Take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 37. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel," I already read this to you, says, "we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." And John says in 1 John 3, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." So what's this all about? This is all about pleasing God. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse 18. "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand." Do you see what God is saying here? He's saying that I care about what you do with your life. The righteous, the upright, I love. The wicked, the evil, I hate. Who sees us, folks? God does. We had a small discussion. I hosted the teenagers on Friday, seven of them. I took them to a college for a day event. And one of the teenagers, and don't tell who it is, teenagers. You know who it is, but don't tell who it is. But one of the teenagers, we were talking about the law. We were talking about traffic laws and seatbelt laws and things like that. And they said, well, actually more than one of them said this, but they said, well, you know, if nobody sees, you're not breaking the law. Or if you don't get caught, you know, you're not breaking the law. You're only breaking the law if you get caught. You're not stealing the cookie out of the cookie jar unless mama catches you get the cookie out of the cookie jar. If you didn't get it out of the cookie, you know, if you didn't get caught, then you never took a cookie, right? You never ate the cookie. But you did eat the cookie, right? Cookie's missing. And by the way, when that happens, then the person that causes all the trouble in the household is the one that did it, right? Nobody. Yeah, nobody's always the culprit, right? Nobody. That whoever that is in the house, we need to get them out of the house. But you know what? This is about all about what God sees, what God knows, what's pleasing in whose sight? His sight. Solomon said in Proverbs 16, he says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." By the way, we're not to be afraid of God. That's not what the fear of the Lord is, folks. The fear of the Lord is not going, oh, oh, okay? That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverence. It's respect. Folks, it's me as a human being knowing that at any moment, if I disobey God, God has the ability, the authority, the right, the privilege to kill me. You understand? He can do that. So you understand, I need to understand my responsibility to God. That I'm supposed to study to show myself approved, pleasing, liked, commended unto God. It's Him. I have an obligation. I have an application. I have an appropriation to complete. Solomon goes on and says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you do, I want to give you a perfect example. We're going to give you some other examples here in Hebrews 11. But I want to give you the perfect example. I mention this verse very often because it's probably one of the most amazing verses in all of Scripture. But in Luke 2:52, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Who is Jesus trying to be approved by, folks? God. All through the New Testament, you hear Jesus talk about his relationship with his Father. Just a few examples. In Matthew 3:17, we know that the Father talked about the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in John 8, Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Folks, this is what I'm trying to talk about today. Unto God. It's nothing of ourself. It's all about Him. Why do I study? Because of Him. Why do I labor intellectually? Because of Him. Why do I take that intellect and display it? Because of Him. He says that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. By the way, remember that word that we talked about, that approved? Means that He likes us, right? He's for us, let me get the definition here. Having the support of, right? He's with me. I have His support. He's on my side, Jesus said. He said, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. We're not alone, folks. Because He's involved. Because it's unto God. Then He says this, for I do always those things that please Him. By the way, every Christian should, and I'm against tattooing, but you should have this tattooed on yourself somewhere, okay? But don't do that, all right? Stamp it on your head, okay? For I do always those things that please Him. Can I just say today that unto God is simply, I do always those things that please Him. That's what that means. Maybe we should say that together. Ready? I do always those things that please Him. Folks, that's the key right there. I love this in this story. This is John 8, 28 through 30. You can read it on your own, but it ends the chapter like this. It says, and He spake these words, or as He spake these words, many believed on Him. That's amazing. I'm just trying to... Are you there in Hebrews 11? Jesus is our ultimate example. I know that. I'll preach that. I believe that. But God gives us other examples too. But Do we always please Him? Do we always want to please Him? Do we always do everything to please Him? Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. And He says, I do always those things that please Him. Look at Hebrews 11 and we'll shut it down. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, what's it? Faith. The elders obtained a good report. By the way, what are we trying to do? Obtain a good report from who? God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, who's this guy? Oh yeah, the meat guy. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than the vegetable guy. Cain. I'm just going to hammer that. That's kind of fun. All right. By which he did what? Obtained. What did I tell you that unto meant? Obligation, application, possession, or appropriation, right? Obtained. Anyways, he says here he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of existence. Who testified? God did. Study of Job, Wednesday nights. Who testified? Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Who is doing the testifying, folks? God. As we stand before God, accountable, responsible, study to show thyself, display, manifest unto, I'm dragging my carcass in before Him. Proved unto God. Look here. By faith, look at the next one. God testifying of His gifts, and by it He being dead yet speaketh. By faith, I love this one. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For there's a reason. Before his translation, he had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You want the key? Read the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, I don't have time today to get into James chapter 2. Faith works, faith with works, faith without works. Listen to me. Basically, what is works? It's the application of what we've studied, folks. It's doing what we know to do. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have an obligation to God, to study, to show thyself approved unto God. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, I want you to think about this thought. I want you to think about what Jesus said. I do always those things that please Him. Let that resonate in your heart. Let that resonate in your mind. Are you studying God and His Word? That's the first question. Second question is, why? Are you doing it for you? Or are you doing it for God? Is it study to show thyself approved unto the church? Approved unto my friends? Approved unto my parents? Approved unto the preacher? Or is it approved unto God? I do always those things that please Him.